We are born free, and we will die free. The time in between, though, that's complicated.
In that time, governments, institutions, and our egos will limit our ability to find true freedom in this life. These are real stories of real people overcoming the odds, persevering in justice, and unlocking their potential. Welcome to Finding Freedom. Here's your host, John Oderman.
Welcome back to another episode of Finding Freedom here on the Lions of Liberty Network, and have a great show lined up for you all today. Once again, live streaming to Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Rumble. So welcome to all the watchers out there who are watching live. If you can't watch live, or if you're listening to this on Monday when it's normally released, welcome to you. Also, but if you're watching live now and you can't watch the whole thing, be sure to subscribe to either the Finding Freedom podcast with John Odermatt, that's me, or to the Lions of Liberty Network podcast. And you'll find this show, Finding Freedom, in that feed, along with a show by my buddy Brian McWilliams called Mean Age Daydream. So be sure to do that. And without any further delay, let's get into today's show. I have two guests today. That's right, two guests. And we're going to be talking about a really, really important topic. We're going to be talking about the fertility crisis. So let's bring in my guests for today, and I'll introduce them. And then they can also introduce themselves, too. So the two faces on the screen, one maybe you're familiar with. He's been on the show pretty recently, within the past 2 months. His name is Anthony Samaroff. And like I said last time, maybe the most famous Scottish libertarian. He's also an author and a psychotherapist. Last time he was on the show, we talked mostly all pharmaceutical stuff and about his new book, Seven Big Pharma Myths Debunked. This time, we'll probably also be talking about some pharmaceutical stuff. And he's brought with him an awesome guest, Dr. Megan Mankow. She's a pelvic health specialist, a registered acupuncturist, and a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine. And yeah, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having us, John. Do you have the best intro music or what? Like every time, I'm absolutely tantalized by the intro.
I can just send you the music and you can listen to it whenever you want.
I was like, always like headbanging along to this, which is not ideal when I actually play your show in double speed because it hurts my neck. But
if you get injured, we don't want any injuries there.
Well, I'll go to Dr. Manco for some acupuncture on my neck and that'll sort me right out.
There you go. Well, let's start with the doctor here. Megan, if you could just give a brief introduction of you, but maybe if you could just tell my audience a little bit more about yourself and, you know, maybe how you became interested in acupuncturist and traditional Chinese medicine and everything else that you do.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that introduction. And yeah, so I've always really been interested in healthcare and medicine. So when I was kind of trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up, I was going through some of the more traditional paths and they didn't quite resonate. So I took some time to try different alternative medicines and kind of researching. And then when I came across Chinese medicine, I really fell in love with the whole philosophy. Really what it comes down to is we're basing the human body off of the cycles of nature. And so we have all of these elements at play within the body, and we're relating the organ systems to that. So I thought that was really beautiful because I'm also a nature lover and it made a lot of sense to me. So I went to school in Calgary at the Canadian Institute of Traditional Chinese Medicine, where I earned my title of Doctor of Traditional Chinese Medicine and a registered acupuncturist. And pretty early on, I figured out that I really enjoy treating fertility, pelvic health, sexual health, all sorts of that. So just continually training, educational programs to specialize in pelvic health. So it's been really exciting. And then as I was working at holistic fertility clinics in Calgary. So doing a lot of work with people going through IVF, IUI, or just trying to naturally conceive. And so that was really great. I got to know how the system views that, what kind of drugs people are on, the effects they had, and then was just doing the best I could to help the body naturally conceive and unkink the hoses, if you will, so that we could get good blood flow and energy to the reproductive organs. So that's kind of my story and how I got into it.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. And somewhere along the way, you crossed paths with this Scotsman here. And I think that we were talking pre-show, you two are working on a, I don't know what the right word is, a workshop, a conference, a retreat around fertility, right?
Yeah, so it was really excellent. We both, well, Anthony was a speaker at the Greater Reset in Morelia, Mexico, and I live in Ixtapa, Mexico, so made the four-hour bus ride up there to attend the conference. It was my first one, really great. And then, yeah, listened to his talk, and it was amazing, and met with him afterwards, and we were kind of talking, and he said something about detoxing for fertility and how his teachers have spoken about that and how he really wanted to get that going. And, oh, well, that's fantastic. You know, my practice is centered around reproductive and infertility health. So we got talking, and then I'm also working out of a resort in Ixtapa, Mexico. So we had all of the accommodations. We worked with an excellent farmer to get all of the juicing, the fruits, the vegetables. And so it was just divine connection. We had everything within our hands to create this wonderful retreat where we're helping people improve their chances of fertility and conceiving. So it's been a really great project. I'm super excited for the retreat to happen.
Awesome. And Anthony, I mean, you've been on the show recently, but you want to give just a real quick background on yourself and maybe just, you know, focus on, you know, why you're so interested and passionate about this topic in particular. I can't hear you if you're talking. Might have a bad connection, Anthony. I'm not hearing anything from you. I think we might have lost Anthony momentarily. But that's okay. We can continue right along. That's the great thing about having two guests. If you lose one, you have another one to come right back to. So let's dive, you know, a little deeper into infertility. And it's kind of hard to even know, I don't know, the right place to start. I mean, there's, you talked a little about the mainstream treatments for infertility. One being, you know, IVF, which has been in the news recently, which I forget which state, was it Missouri that banned IVF? I can't remember. Well, some state in the US Alabama. Just recently banned it. Alabama. Yes. Alabama. Yeah. So it's in the news when it comes to the use of IVF, or let's phrase this a different way. Let me ask you this question. So it seems like in America today, the culture is when couples have trouble getting pregnant, one of the first things they go to is IVF. But what are your opinions on IVF? And is that really the first place that couples should, not maybe not the first place, but it's just, you know, second or third down the line that they should be going to?
Yeah, well, I think right now, like within our current mainstream medical system in Canada and the States, that's kind of the only option they have for treatment. And so that's the only thing they can offer. And of course, it works for some people and it is a great option. But I am so amazed by what the body can do. And there are so many other alternatives and things we can begin to do ourselves. Like acupuncture is super beneficial, herbal medicine, hypnosis, and like psychology work. And really, what I find with infertility, it's simple factors that are affecting it that I most find. And those are like stress. When we're in a stress state, our energy is not going towards our reproductive functioning and organs. So getting us out of that sympathetic stress state is very important. Our lifestyle is super important. That correlates to the stress. Diet is huge. And so that's where Anthony comes in with his detoxification and remineralization and really improving the cellular health of the body. And then another one is blood flow and energy flow. And so that's where I find that acupuncture and body work comes in. we need to make sure that we're getting sufficient nutrients and minerals to our reproductive organs, and acupuncture, Chinese medicine is great for that. And so that was the beauty of why we think this retreat is fantastic, is because you're getting all of the food you need, no stress. We have accommodations. You're in this beautiful beach town. So really, we're eliminating that stress factor, which can be hard to do on your own when you're just living your daily life. You have work to do, all of these things. We work with a really great farmer. It's all organic, pesticide, chemical free. And then you're receiving body work. So that's why we thought this retreat was a really excellent idea and can help a lot of people. But yeah, so right now in kind of mainstream Western medicine, IVF, IUI is the only treatments. And then some people do recommend acupuncture. I was kind of saying that lots of clinics do have acupuncturists on site at the IVF, IUI clinics, but there's not a lot of other treatments available, and infertility is quite, it's on the rise. 1 in 6 people are struggling to conceive, and it's not talked about a lot because it is quite an emotional journey. And mm-hmm. people aren't aware of how many people are going through this. And it's really difficult because there's so much like hope and then disappointment, and it can really take a toll on like, your That's mental true. And emotional health. So we just really wanted to create a community of people going through similar things and still working on improving their fertility health.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the number is higher than 1 in 6, just because it is, you know, people don't want to talk about it. So I don't know how they come up with that with a poll or whatnot, but that's always imperfect anyway. I guess my anecdotal view, just from people I know, it seems higher than that. But Anthony, when you dropped off there, I asked the doctor here about IVF and just treatments in general, and how really in the U.S., you know, one of, not the first thing, there's some other things they do, but, you know, pretty close to the first recommendation is IVF, and there's really not many other treatment options. What are your views on IVF, and what are your views on the current state of fertility treatment in the US?
Well, the thing is, you know, IVF can cost up to $25,000, and you might not succeed. You know, it's 20 to 30% success rate. That could take a big toll on your emotional health, as Megan said, you know, getting your hopes up and then down. It might happen more than once. And what I think of IVF is, like a lot of things in mainstream medicine, what they're trying to do is they're sort of trying to force the body to go along with something that it's not in the position to do. So really, we're not looking at why the body isn't reproducing. And the body itself has got a hierarchy of what it thinks its priorities are. You know, the essential functions come first. And then, as you know, when we're under stress, this is not disputed, the digestion suffers because the body thinks, when I need to get out of a stressful situation, digestion is not my number one priority. Similarly, down the line is our reproductive health. I don't know if you know, but like in our parents' generation and their grandparents' generation, it was a big thing, like, be careful because you can easily get pregnant. And I think that maybe was actually the case then, you know. The old joke, virginity is like a bubble, just one prick, you know. It's like people really needed to be careful. It seems at the moment people are finding it increasingly difficult. And where we found our partnership is, like, I had a bunch of eczema, psoriasis, blotching, fungal forms in the toes. Like, I had bouts of anxiety and depression. I couldn't eat wheat or cheese without getting symptoms, and I had other digestive issues. And I managed to reverse these conditions, which were mostly mainstream doctors said there was not much they could do about. If any, like, you could get treated, it would go away, it would come right back as soon as you stop the poisoning. So what my teachers taught me was that these sort of diseases, everything arises out of the underlying condition of the body at the cellular level, right? So healthy cells build healthy tissues build healthy organs build a healthy body, and a healthy body can conceive. Now, what's been happening since 1930, approximately, with the chemical combine industries, is we've admitted so many toxic chemicals into our food, our water, the air, that the condition of the body on the cellular level has been degenerating. And then what happens is you're passing on a lower quality of cell to your progeny. This is my view and that of my teachers of what's happening. So as the body is as less capable than it was, it's trying hard to clean itself and to maintain health. And it's going, well, maybe reproduction is not for me at the moment. Maybe I can come back to that later once the body's healthier. Now, I would add to that that you, every now and then you'll see a mainstream article in the paper say you'd have to get 7 carrots to get as much X mineral as our grandparents got, or you'd have to have 4 apples to get as much X vitamin as our parents got. What we have done is we've intensely farmed the land. There wasn't that many minerals in it in the first place, but we failed to reintroduce the minerals. And soil is not just dead matter. It's supposed to be made of vibrant microorganisms. Now, the living content of the soil is much lower than it used to be in the past. We've not created an agricultural system which nurtures the earth. In addition to that, we're spraying more poison chemicals in the produce. Then you feed that produce to the animals, and then it biocollects in their cells, which you then eat. Or what the pesticides do is they kill the microorganisms in the soil that are required to pre-digest minerals so they can be absorbed by the plant. Those pesticides also kill off the microorganisms that live inside you, because the body's basically a farm for bacteria. So you yourself have a reduced capacity to break down the food. That's why you're getting all the colitis and the, well, I shouldn't say that's why, because, you know, someone will come along and go, have you got something? These are contributing factors to the sort of widespread problems with digestion that we're seeing across the board that we didn't used to see. So we're coming across with a simple philosophy. If you improve the general working condition of the body, that means get stuff that isn't in the body, that shouldn't be in the body, out of the body. B, get the stuff that should be in the body but isn't into the body, that is nutrition. C, reduce stress. D, there's the emotional, psychological, and energetic flow to the body, which we're also treating with acupuncture and Chinese herbal medicine. And E, have a community of people, like your parents used to have a community of people. Where is this gone? So we're trying to look at the major contributing factors and creating a space where we can target those and treat them. And, you know, we've got supplement protocols to help with detoxification and the microbiome and what have you, all of those things.
Hey, real quick word from the sponsor for today's show, who is Crowd Health, a longtime sponsor of Lions of Liberty. And I want to talk about health insurance, guys. Health insurance is crazy stupid. If you're a person who has ever been sick or had to use your health insurance, you probably understand how dumb and confusing it is. It's frustrating, too. And claim denials are really an all-time high, becoming much, much more common. In fact, last year, 1 in 5 Obamacare claims were denied. That's just downright unacceptable. So this headache of health insurance, this is why CrowdHealth came about. It's why it was created. Now, CrowdHealth is not health insurance, but it's an alternative. It's a better way through crowdfunding to pay for your health care. And it allows you to stop sending your money to these big insurance companies who are going to profit and who are going to make money off doing all kinds of ridiculous surgeries and things and interventions that you probably don't agree with. So you can join the crowd. And let me tell you how it works. At CrowdHealth, for just $175 for an individual or $575 for a family of four, you'll get access to a community of people who are willing to help you out in case of emergency. You'll get access to telemedicine visits, discount prescriptions, and a ton more. And of course, you get to join the crowd, like-minded community members, people like you and me, people that love freedom, love liberty, and want to go against the grain, against these crazy health insurance companies. Let CrowdHealth meet your healthcare needs. You can get started for just $99 per month for your first 3 months by using code LIONS at joincrowdhealth.com. CrowdHealth is not insurance, guys, not insurance, but you can learn more how to join the crowd at joincrowdhealth.com. That's joincrowdhealth.com, code LIONS.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting, but it's not surprising. I mean, you named a bunch of health conditions that, you know, people are dealing with, all stemming from really issues with their gut microbiome, mm-hmm. you know, affecting everything from your skin to migraine headaches to anxiety, depression, to all kinds of different issues. It would only make sense that another symptom of an issue there would also be the ability would hinder your ability to conceive, to create life. So that shouldn't be surprising. The question is, how is it reversed, right? And that's what you two are working on. How do we get back? How do we get the body into a state where it's comfortable and ready to reproduce? So I'll pass it over here to Megan. If you could talk about, you know, some of the topics like acupuncture that you're an expert in, how that would, you know, directly help with, infertility.
Yeah. So, yeah. And like you said, it's actually not that surprising because with Chinese medicine, how we're relating to nature and the earth, like if we think about the soil health is huge, how Anthony talked about that. And our bodies are just kind of mirrors of how our environment and the earth conditions right now. And so by nurturing like our soil and our produce, we're also going to be nurturing our body. So there is this whole diet aspect of it. And we're really lucky here in Mexico because to be honest, pesticides and chemicals are very expensive. So they aren't used that often with the farming practices here. And the farmer that we work with is an agroecological farmer. And so he is actively working. Not only it's a little step above permaculture where we're not just sustainably living, we're also increasing the soil health. So afterwards, the earth should be better off than it was before. Hmm. So that's a huge aspect. And then with acupuncture and Chinese medicine, what we're doing is we're increasing blood flow. So in today's society, with all of the sitting that we do, like all of our posture and like the stress that we're under, with acupuncture and Chinese medicine, it's a really relaxing treatment. So one, we're getting your body out of the sympathetic system and we're stimulating the nervous system so that we can activate the parasympathetic, which is when our energy and our blood flow is then directed to our digestive organs and our reproductive organs. So that's one piece of it. And then the other one is just like the body alignment. So we need to make sure, like lots of people have had tailbone fractures or even just minor things where you might not even think that you have a pelvic injury, but we really need to look at that because just the tiniest like millimeter, not even a millimeter of misalignment, that can pinch nerves, pinch blood flow. All of these vessels within our body, including the energetic pathways, are very fine and small. So with acupuncture, what we're doing is to help open those pathways up so that your pelvic organs, reproductive organs can receive the most nutrients as possible. And a huge part of that within acupuncture is it's a really long health history intake that I do with you. And most people have digestive issues in today's society. And I really can't get anywhere without focusing on digestive health because we need to make sure that we are absorbing all the nutrients and minerals from our food. That's a huge piece I see. And it is very rare that I get clients come in and they're having 1 to 2 healthy bowel movements, no digestive issues. It's very rare. I don't see that very often. So that's where it comes in. The diet is huge, and yeah, helping our gut microbiome and making sure that we are free from these toxins that are a little bit unavoidable in our world, whether that be through using skincare products, cleaning products, the foods that we eat. It's all around us. So it's just important to think about those things. And but there's a lot of information out there. So it's also trying to find someone that you trust has this information and can give you the, this is the priorities, because there's tons of things we can do. I'm really optimistic about the health of this world. There's lots of options, things we can do. The body is absolutely amazing. That's another reason I love acupuncture, is I'm not adding anything. We're just stimulating the body's natural healing abilities and kind of reminding it of how it was functioning before all of these endocrine disruptors came into our body, toxins. We're just clearing the pathways and reminding the body how it was naturally functioning.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mention, this information age that we live in, and there is tons of information out there, and there's lots of people talking about ways to, address infertility. And it can be overwhelming, to sort through all of that and to see, what you think is right, who you trust, and all of that. Of course, that's better than the other option if we didn't have these different voices. And there's a bit of a market element to it as well. Those who do find success are going to tell others how they found success, and things that do work, natural ways that do work will catch on over time, I'm sure. I mean, I'm pretty confident the human race is going to turn around this infertility crisis. I don't think we have much of a choice on that matter. Right. Otherwise, we'll become extinct. So were you saying something there, Anthony?
I said, yeah, you're right. We've got no choice but to overcome it. But yeah, exactly as you say, we would like to create our first success stories and case studies to demonstrate that this is possible. I emailed the widow of one of my naturopath teachers and said, hey, did you have case studies of people who were struggling with this that had children? And she's like, oh yes, it happened many times. Even on the protocol, people would conceive. And I would like to, people need to know that there's an option. What frustrates me is there's so much money behind the mainstream solutions, which aren't that effective. People's health insurance will back up the mainstream system. A huge amount of money is being reallocated through the tax system, Medicare and Medicaid, to furthering these treatments. And I don't have anything against people taking mainstream treatments, but I would like people to be informed that there's other options. And so often what I've found is there's a conspiracy of silence or outright hostility to bringing new information in. And one of the difficulties for doctors is they're only allowed to prescribe surgery or pharmaceuticals. So even if they knew about alternatives, they're not allowed to tell people. I've heard so many times from people doing my research on the Big Pharma book, I went into my doctor and they showed a complete lack of curiosity. They just said, all right, whatever, just keep on doing whatever you're doing. That's a cliche. Oh, well, you're doing great. Just keep on doing whatever you're doing, because they don't even want to know, because they're so invested in the mainstream system. And so we kind of rely on people hearing this show to pass it on to anyone they know that's having trouble in this area. We want to create our first, we want to show people that something else is possible. Once they see that something else is possible, if they want to opt for mainstream treatments, that's their choice. Or they can come and learn more about something like this, do it first. Because like I said, intergenerational cellular toxicity. As you may have noticed, our children are getting sicker than ever. ADHD, more asthma, more childhood diabetes, which used to not be a thing, childhood cancer, acne, all, I don't want to list the conditions. Talk about, Megan was saying, getting your hopes up and then having your hopes dashed. Talk about getting your hopes up, going for IVF treatment, being successful, and then giving birth to a sickly child. I mean, talk about heartbreak. What I want people to know is this can be avoided. When you enter on a protocol like this, like Megan said, with the soil, we are living, we're forging a brotherhood with the soil when we farm like this. We nurture the planet, the planet nurtures us. Similarly, we're now turning back the tide on decades of neglect of the human body and the human spirit. And just one person demonstrating that this is possible, word will get around. You know, this is very fertile ground, if you'll pardon the pun, that we're working on here.
No, the puns are welcome here. And as I was telling Megan before the show, Anthony was a little late to the show, so he missed the chat. He was running on Scottish time, I think. But I was telling Megan, Anthony, when you sent me this idea for this show, I jumped on it pretty fast and said I was interested because this, you know, does, I do a personal connection to infertility. My wife and I do have a daughter who's eight years old now, but we've been unable to conceive a second child, which, you know, we're so thankful to have one, you know, one kid. I know so many couples who just want for anything, yeah, just to be able to have one kid and they aren't able to. So this is, you know, definitely a topic that is very close to my heart, and I want to get to as many ears as possible. So I'm curious if you can at this point in time give more details about what the actual retreat would be, time duration, commitment. I understand I'm not asking for like pricing or things like that, but any details that you're comfortable giving, and whoever wants to answer, or you both can talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've got the palace for near enough 8 weeks for this project. We'd like people to come down for as long as they can. It's not always possible for people to get off work, but you know, the longer you can come down during the period, at April the 7th to June the 2nd, more or less, if you can find 4 weeks, that would be freaking amazing. Do you know what I mean? But we'll educate you appropriately so that you can continue with the protocol when you go home. If someone goes on a protocol like this, after a few days, after a week, 2 weeks, you'll start to feel good. You'll start to really feel what is going on, and that will empower you to continue. Now, as Megan has pointed out before, half of the time it's the man, half the time it's the woman, or maybe it's a synergy between both some of the time. So we're always looking to improve sperm quality and egg quality. If a couple could come down, so much the better. If only one person can come down, sometimes that can't be helped, you know. But we've got the period. You can go to youcanconceiveit.com to find our landing page, book a consultation with me, youcanconceiveit.com. yeah, I managed to get that URL, and I'll speak to you on Zoom. We'll find out how long you can come down for, and we'll arrange for you, and hopefully there'll be other people there for you to connect with during that period, so that you can forge solid connections and go forward, even to continue when you go home with that new people who are going through the same thing, and continue your cleanse and nurturance of the body. I believe it's possible. I don't think the gap between being able to do it and not being able to do it is that far. You just need to get over the line. So when we can tackle these, what I've considered to be the five top contributing factors: nutrition, toxicity, stress, emotional, psychological, and energetic community. I believe you can conceive.
Yeah, and so we're looking to run it. April 7th is the start date. And so it is coming up really fast. So the main thing is for us to get the information out there and get people thinking about it. We have options to run it. You can sign up for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, or 8 weeks. And like Anthony said, the longer you can stick with it, the more we're remineralizing and detoxifying the body. So that's best. But even if you can't make this upcoming retreat because it's a little bit fast to plan for, still go check out the website and submit a form, and we can contact you because
Yes.
we'll be running it again. And also, you can individually work with us. We do, yeah, like Anthony, it's really wonderful because we're working out of space with accommodations. So really, it's just the flight down there, and then everything is taken care of for you. I've lived here for a year now, and so I'm lucky enough to have built up enough connections that we know the best places to get organic fruit and other body workers in the area, all the beautiful beaches. So it is going to be, we're going to have intimacy connection games as well, lots of excursions. It'll be a really fun time. We're going to be doing yoga every day. We have Temescal set up, so it's,
Sweat
yeah.
lodge. Yeah. You
Yeah,
get
yeah.
e-bike tours, hikes, you can learn Spanish, you can learn salsa. It's not going to be a retreat like going up into the mountains like a yogi and just staring at the wall, or staring at a candle is maybe more apt for a yogi. We've got plenty of fun activities planned for people, and it's a nice spot, you know. You can go down to the beach. I've spent quite a lot of time there myself.
Now,
Oh,
do
and
you
we do,
want
yeah.
people to?
Go on.
Sorry, I was just going to ask, do you want people to totally disengage while they're there? You know, people, a lot of people work remote. They can bring a
Yeah, no,
laptop with them,
perfect.
work from anywhere. Do you not
Yeah,
want that, or is that
exactly.
okay?
Digital nomads would be, digital nomads are in a privileged position of having better access to a retreat like this than, I know that there's people out there who would totally take the time off work. Why? Because if they're willing to pay, spend $25,000 on IVF, then that shows that they're significantly invested. But not everyone's in that position. We might not get to those people. So someone who works remotely is an ideal candidate for our first round. Anyone who's interested should definitely let us know that we're interested, because if we can't get along, like Dr. Manco says, if you can't get along to this one, we need to know that there's a demand there to organize everything for the next one. So it would really help us along.
And yeah, I think too with your question about working, like, of course, there's this ideal world. And of course, like, ideally, you're not thinking or stressed about work, but we don't live in a bubble of an ideal world. And it's just about taking the steps that you're able to focus on your health. So, of course, like, if you still need to work, we'll work around that. Yeah, just
Right,
yeah.
because I mean, stress could be a part of the issue, right, for someone, and maybe
Right.
that's work. And maybe if they go and they're away from their work, maybe the stress goes away, but then when they get back home, they start working and then the stress is back. But I mean, I assume some of the
I
things you're teaching are ways to
yeah.
deal with that stress.
I like to think that no one's going to go home the same person as they came
Yeah.
down. Do you know what I mean? There, you can't go back to business as usual, because once you've experienced something like the experience that I'm hoping to lay on people, then you can't unsee something. Okay. So yeah, of course, we're gonna you might be encouraged to put the laptop down and come down to the beach with us from time to time. But I think that people will find it enriching and relaxing. And if you have to send some work emails, that's just life. Life isn't like Megan says, we don't live in an ideal world. What we're trying to do is, get to good enough. And good enough's pretty bloody good, actually.
I did have another question here in the notes that you sent me, Anthony. You mentioned postnatal depletion. So
Oh,
the
yeah.
phenomenon of women after birth having a nutrient deficiency. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's interesting. No one's brought that up on a show so far. So, but yeah, I was looking around, and that's a well-acknowledged phenomenon in postnatal depletion, because when you look at it, nature doesn't care about you as much as you would like it to. What nature is mostly concerned about is perpetuating itself. So as soon as you make that commitment to have a child, your body starts to prioritize the child. I actually personally believe that a lot of postpartum depression and things like that are tied to this kind of postnatal depletion, where nature says, okay, I'm going to give everything I can to the baby because the baby represents the future, and the woman's leaving feeling depleted. And we're unfortunately not educated in this society and the basic things to understand that. What's sometimes frustrating is how obvious some of this stuff should be. You know, you've got universities full of biologists and evolutionary biologists and things like that, and these doctors go into the mainstream system and no one says, I wonder if, you know, I wonder if the mother's depleted from coming to term, you know. So exactly. What I would like to think is this protocol advantages you and your baby for the rest of your lives. You're off to a good start if you can meet the body's needs. So again, like, you know, I think we're seeing the effects of not attending to these things already.
Do you have any comments on that, Megan?
Yes. Postnatal care is so important. Like prenatal care is important than postnatal. In most societies, like especially India and China, there is this period after giving birth called sitting the moon. And so it's about a 40-day period where mom's only job is to connect and nourish baby. Because that is, like, lots of times we see postnatal depression. In Chinese medicine, we attribute that to blood loss. And so there's a blood deficiency and there's nowhere for your mind to rest is how we describe it. But in Canada and the States is what I can speak to, is there's this hierarchy and people almost brag about, like, oh yeah, like I gave birth 2 weeks ago and I'm already back at the gym, and like that they can push themselves. And this work ethic is so valued in our society, but it's not what creates healthy bodies.
I only took one vacation day to give birth.
I'm so amazed. I'm so amazed at how soon women go back to work and things like that, and how short they sometimes breastfeed for. I cannot believe it. It's so far removed from nature. And, you know, I've spent 9 months or so in India, and, you know, I know that I'm so intimate with it, and Indian culture, like, it was a known thing in that land, when a woman is pregnant, she's very sensitive, and like, it was important to create an environment, you know, almost elevating her, you know, to create a nice environment around for the baby to come to gestate in and come into, and then have mum and baby close together. And, you know, I'm glad that things like these baby wearing slings have become such a fashion, and more people are doing that back to our ancient ways. But yeah, I'm so passionate about that idea, and it's amazing to me that society as a whole does not regard this and go, you know, what the hell are we doing? You know, we should be making it easier for women to spend more time with their baby, because that is the generation of a life. And I think also so important for the connection between mom and baby as well.
And this is a theory of mine as well, why psychology is very important. Is in recent, there's been lots of developments with feminism and like the movement, and lots of changes with like the masculine and the feminine energy. But for a long time, we also kind of demonized motherhood and made it seem less than like working women. And so I think there is still this factor, as like, it's how everything goes. There's swings, like you can swing far left, you can swing far right, and eventually you get back to the center. And I think we are kind of getting to this back to the center again, in terms of like female empowerment, masculine empowerment, and like all this. But there's a residual effect of where it was really like, even like birth control was marketed as like, so that you can keep working. Like women should be equal to men and be working all this time. and it has its place. But I think we really devalued how much we should be respecting mothers and what a job that is, and the rest that you need afterwards and the honor that you need afterwards. And again, it goes back to the way we're treating our Mother Earth as well, kind of starting to devalue like the earth as a mother that's nurturing and nourishing and promoting and valuing these more like high functioning, high working. Can you get this done? Can you make the most amount of money? But really, where do our values and priorities lie? And I think there's been a little bit of a disconnect with that. And so as, so that's my philosophy and something to just look about psychologically, because even like I've been in that state too, where like I really enjoy my job and working, but I also really value like the feminine energy and like the motherhood aspect of things. And you can have both, but it's not a one or the other. It's both. And we need to be, as a society, nurturing and valuing like this motherhood and the time for that as well.
Yeah, we have a few minutes left, but you brought up birth control, and I can't believe I forgot to bring that up as something to talk about, because I don't know how we can't talk about fertility without birth control. And, you know, a lot of women, I mean, are now, you know, understanding that it can be pretty, pretty damaging to health. So can you just give your perspective and thoughts on birth control?
Yeah. You asked at the beginning of the show as well, like what are the treatments for infertility? And, it begs the same question, what are the treatments for heavy menstrual bleeds, painful menstrual cramps? And the only treatment is birth control, really. Like if you go into your doctor and say that you're having any issues with your menstrual cycle, the band-aid fix is going on birth control. So birth control, like it is, there's hormonal birth control, which... And many people start birth control. It's very common to go on as young as like 14 to 16 years old. And then you're on birth control up until, and there's not a lot of information on it, like the post-care as well. So, okay, like now you've decided you want to have a child and you go off birth control and just expect you're going to get pregnant. It takes a long time for your body to for all the endocrine disruptors to one, leave your system, and for your body to start naturally producing those hormones again. So it's a minimum of 6 months after birth control that I find women's cycles start to even out and we are getting sufficient levels of the hormones we need for fertility. But not a lot of people know that. And oftentimes it takes longer. And even for non-hormonal birth control, such as the copper IUD, what it's doing is causing inflammation within the uterus so that... nothing can be implanted. Well, if you're causing inflammation in the uterus for so many years, we can't just expect it to go away overnight. It takes time. And I think that's the biggest thing with our current medical system is we're used to these pharmaceuticals or like this pill, and then that's all. You just have to take a pill and it's fixed. And same with these blanket diagnoses. Like we talked about how there's so much information online and out there. How do you know? Well, we're used to like, okay, I have diabetes, I take this pill. Well, diabetes shows up different for every individual. Same with infertility. Its cause is different for every individual and how it's manifesting in the body is different. And so that's why I'm really passionate about this individualized healthcare. We're not treating infertility. We're not treating eczema. We're treating what's going on in the body. And we really like need practitioners that care and can spend time, hold space with people to really figure out the story. In Alberta, because our healthcare is free, but doctors aren't allowed to charge the government for appointments over 15 minutes in Alberta. So doctors aren't really willing to spend more than 15 minutes because they can't charge that.
So bad. So
this whole chain link of like, we can say what we want, but also like doctors don't get paid if they spend more than 15 minutes.
Talk about unintended consequences. Wow.
Yeah. Or intended consequences.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's lots to talk about with it. Like, and there's so fertility is such a broad topic because, and that's why I love it is, well, it's complicated because it is like there's these like emotional aspect to it, the physical aspect, the mental and the spiritual aspect as well. Like I said, like even just these underlying unconscious beliefs that have been programmed in us from society, such as, like I said, maybe mothers being devalued over the last couple of years. Even if you don't believe that, there is this subconscious aspect. So there's, and again, that's why I think like it's really difficult to just go online and be like, how can I cure infertility? Well, like, what is really blocking this? And it's really important to see different practitioners. And that can be the frustrating thing when we're used to this model of like, we just take a pill and that's good. But it takes time to, one, for the body to regulate itself, endocrine and hormonally, blood flow. And it takes time to find practitioners and these different elements that they specialize in. Like lots of times for sexual health, people do need to see like a psychologist, a body worker, as well as be doing their own practices. And we've kind of devalued, especially like I can speak in Canada, where like hospital visits, doctor's visits is free. We have kind of been told not to pay for healthcare, or healthcare isn't worth paying for. And so that's all coming out of pocket, but it's really, that's where we're getting to the root cause and really fixing our body as a whole, which is then going to have all of these, there's unintended consequences, positive and negative. If we are like getting to the underlying root cause, like Anthony said, and we're working on fertility, if you go through this program, I can almost guarantee that like your skin's going to look better. Your digestion is better. You can't fix one condition without also fixing the rest if we're getting to the root cause.
You cannot heal selectively, as Charlotte Garson used to say. When the body heals, everything heals.
Yes.
Makes sense to me. Well, we are about out of time here, but before I let you both go, if you could each give your plugs for anything else that you would like to plug, and then also please plug the retreat one more time. So I guess we'll start with Anthony.
Okay. Be Yourself and Love It podcast. You might have forgotten it, but it's back. 7pharmamyths.com for my ebook, and beyourselfandloveit.com is my personal counseling or coaching site. Our conjoined website is youcanconceiveit.com. That's for the retreat. And over to Megan.
Yeah, so you can find me at my business is called Berkano Sacred Healing. And so that's Berkano Sacred Healing. So BerkanoSacredHealing.com. I'm also on Instagram at Berkano.SacredHealing. I'm always posting little videos or whatnot about how we can improve our health. And also, if you're wanting to work with me in Mexico, feel free to fill out my form and we'll make that work. Like I said, we've got all the accommodation, the body workers, the food covered. You just got to get yourself here.
All right. Awesome. Megan and Anthony, thank you so much for coming on Finding Freedom.
Thank you so much for having us, John. It's good to be back and we'll speak to you again.
Yes. All right. Talk to you soon. All right, guys, that is a wrap for today's show. Hopefully you enjoyed this incredibly important conversation on fertility with Anthony Samerhoff and Megan Mankow. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. I think I got it right that last time. Yeah, guys, so if you like this live stream, let me know. And if you watched on the live stream, be sure to subscribe to the podcast too, because that's really how we monetize the show. So if you like it here, go subscribe to the Finding Freedom podcast and or the Lions of Liberty Network podcast as well. Appreciate everybody who watched this live. If you watched on YouTube, be sure to subscribe and hit that bell at the top and get notified. Same thing on Rumble, on Facebook. I don't know what to tell you. What do you do on Facebook when you see a live? Do they even show lives on Facebook? I don't know. But I appreciate everybody watching, and we'll see y'all next week with another awesome episode. In the meantime, always remember to keep your head up and the fires of liberty burning.